Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we used to talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons. Again, this podcast is originally going to be for our farm, our DD&D off-grid organic farm and retreat. We didn't really have a name for it. We had a running joke calling our farm Demented Dungeons and Dragons. So we used that podcast. We used that name for the podcast. Started out talking about getting off the grid, alternative health, alternative energy, stuff like that. And then we spun off into all kinds of crazy stuff. So we're somewhat getting more on point. After, what, 3 years of this podcast?
Yeah, maybe.
And we're now doing a free food and medicine podcast, which we're going to call into Blog Talk Radio here in 5 minutes. And we're going to start our free food and medicine podcast, which Blog Talk Radio only lets us do 30 minutes. So After that, anything that carries over will carry over to our DD&D podcast. Tonight's topic is dandelions.
No.
Thistles.
That's what I said.
Thistles.
Thistles.
They're related.
They are. They're both good for the liver.
Unfortunately, I'm sitting in the dark. So.
Why?
Because I didn't pay the electric bill.
Why?
Might why explain to the public that there's no electric bill for me to pay.
Yay! My freefoodandmedicine.net affiliate link is now working. Again.
Right. Good.
So, go to freefoodandmedicine.com to check out Marcus Rothkranz. And or freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me credit for it. Now that it's working, I can buy the book and give myself credit for it.
So we'll have two copies of the book.
Yeah, you'll have a copy and I'll have a copy. I have the digital copy, but I don't have a hard copy. And I've been meaning to buy it. I just haven't done it. He's got some other good stuff, too.
Well, that copy's nice. You should get it.
The hard copy's nice. You listeners should get it.
Yes.
And the video. There's a video associated with it.
Yes. DVD, whole nine yards. We're also working on a Discord for this group, Free Food and Medicine group that we're putting together. Part of my project was to teach the homeless how to forage, feed themselves, and grow their own and feed themselves. We have a friend who wants to do that with the inner city youth.
They can do that?
And also part of our project was basically just how to learn how to do it ourselves and survive in the wild, you know, in cases of an emergency or just to live, you know, day to day. You know, yeah. Well, it's 10 o'clock, so now we got to call into Blog Talk Radio. I got to wait till right at 10 o'clock, otherwise it may not. I gotta wait till 10 o'clock, otherwise it won't autoplay the recording that I want autoplayed, and it still might not work anyway, so. Here we go.
Well,
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. The audio clip did not autoplay again. Anyhow, hello and welcome to the Free Food and Medicine Manic Monday podcast.
Right.
Today's
anyway,
topic.
Well, thistles and kind of a side topic. Ticks. Yes, I'd like to talk. I'd like to talk about our dog.
Right? But are ticks edible?
They are not kosher, according to they're not biblically clean. So you won't catch me eating them on purpose, at least. All right.
But they are edible?
I'm sure chickens and guineas get plenty of nutritional value out of them.
This
so,
is true.
Anyway.
So eat chicken and guinea. Okay,
so
carry on.
So here's what I did. All right, a friend of mine said, if you take Dr. Brommer's Castile soap, the peppermint Castile soap, all right, basically it's Castile soap where they added peppermint essential oil. I hope it's essential oil. And he said, take that and dilute it 6 to 1. 6 parts water, 1 part Castile soap. And you can spray that on your animals, and it won't irritate their skin. And I did human testing on that to verify. I sprayed myself, and indeed, it does not irritate the skin. And it seems pretty much to keep the ticks off of me when I use it. All right? Now, we sprayed our dog, and, well, I sprayed our dog. And I saturated. I put about 4 ounces of the – I put it in a spray bottle. I put about 4 ounces on the dog. Got about 75% of the dog doing that. The dog didn't much like being sprayed, but I wasn't sure it was having an effect because the very next day I found 2 large ticks on her. But I was checking her over today, and she's only been sprayed twice. And she has dead ticks on her, which I removed some, but her skin's irritated, but I think it's from the ticks. And so, but she didn't seem to be bothered by the spray itself, other than the fact that she was being sprayed. And when I sprayed myself with it, it doesn't irritate my skin at all. Now, Kano added, what would you add to it? You gave me about...
Eucalyptus.
Is that's all? I thought there was some other things in there.
No, which I did forget to top off before I left, but that's okay. Yeah, eucalyptus, that's it.
Yeah, what I put in there, about 1 ounce, 2 ounces?
No, not even that much. It was a 1 ounce bottle. I probably had maybe 1/4 to 1/3 of an ounce left in it, and you put probably about 1/2 or 1/3 of that in.
Okay. So I added that to, I'd say, about 22 ounces of the mixture I already had. I started out with about 28 ounces. All right. So I'd sprayed about 6 ounces on the dog and on myself. And at that point, added the eucalyptus and then sprayed more on me. I'm a bit more sparing about it. So, you know, I've used about 2 ounces since. It seems to be effective. My experience with ticks last year was because I live out in the wilderness, basically, and only in a camper or whatever, I do a lot of spit baths. I don't get very many opportunities to actually take a shower and a bath, which I'm going to try to fix this year. But I take a lot of spit baths, and because I take a lot of spit baths, I leave a lot of soap residue on my skin. And I thought my blood was poisonous to ticks because the ticks would die when they bit me. All right? I'd still be irritated by the bite, but the ticks would die. All right? I had lots of dead ticks on me. All right? Well, I realized that it was my bathing habits that was killing the ticks. By leaving that soap film on my skin, it was harming the ticks, which is a good thing. All right. So that's the recommended by my friend was Dr. Brommer's peppermint. Mix it 6 to 1. So if you got yourself a 4-ounce bottle like I got, you add 24 ounces of water to that. And it will be non-irritating. And you can leave the residue. You can leave the film of soap on your animals. All right. So, unless there's some discussion about that. Thistles.
Thistles, roly-poly thistles.
Thistles, and we'll go so far as to talk about milk thistle, too. They're very closely related. I guess it's milk thistle has... Go ahead.
Never mind, go ahead.
I guess milk thistle has fewer spines on it. But they're highly nutritious. As a matter of fact, the part that I've been eating, the root... as I understand, is the part that has most of the nutrition. But I kind of got interested in finding out more about thistle because when I weed whack the thistles, well, a couple of times I got hit in the mouth with the juice. And it was very tasty. I know why thistles have thistles on them.
Because
everything would eat them. There would be no thistles on this planet if it weren't for the spines.
Right.
They're extremely tasty. So, just saying.
Just saying.
Yep. Now, there probably is something in my favorite book. I got a book called Identifying and Harvesting Edible and Medicinal Herbs in the Wild and Not So Wild Places. And it doesn't exactly break things down alphabetically. If you want to look this up, it was written by a gentleman by the name of Steve Brill. Sometimes he goes by the nickname of Wildman Steve Brill. As I understand it, he used to go through Central Park in New York and show people how to feed themselves.
Yeah.
So, anyway, his book is organized by season and terrain. So, you know, is it a meadow? Is it woods? Is it, lawn and garden situation? You know, what is it? Okay, you know, sides of hills. that kind of stuff, you know, desert and by season. And basically he breaks the year down into three seasons. Winter he kind of groups together with late fall and early spring, you know, so when things are dormant. So, but unfortunately, because I've been sitting in the dark, I haven't had time to find his references to thistles. But our other favorite book, Free Food and Medicine, by Marcus Rothkrantz, has a blurb on thistles.
And I just ordered six books.
Woohoo!
I just ordered six copies.
All right. Did you get those on sufficient discount that we can turn around and sell them to our listeners?
Well, they were $40 a piece. Right now, they're only $30 a piece. And then I forgot what my commission is, but I'll get that refunded back to me next month.
So if people order right now through our website, they can get them for $30 a piece.
$30 a piece. They're like 25% off.
Very good. All right. Let's see now.
I actually could have probably saved more money by entering a promo code type ship for less. And, but that was for UPS instead of USPS. Well, no, I don't know, maybe. But I didn't enter that promo code, so I could have actually saved more money.
All right.
Oh, well.
Well?
It's worth it.
Okay, here it goes. It's a long paragraph, but I'm going to read what Rothkrantz wrote about him. Okay. Spiky, prickly leaves with pink or violet flower burrs. And I'll add the Canadian thistle sometimes has white flowers, about 10% of them, actually. All right. Though the entire plant has liver-protecting properties, the seeds has the strongest effect on the liver. Milk thistle seed contains, oh God, I can't pronounce it, silymarin?
I don't know.
You don't know? I figured you'd know. Oh well, I'm sorry. It's a compound shown to protect the liver and to accelerate the regeneration of liver cells. As an antioxidant, milk thistle can help reduce, and forgive me folks, I'm kind of reading in the dark, reduce oxidative damage to the liver. Used as a liver protectant and healer to treat spleen problems, to protect the kidneys as an antioxidant, and to protect the system from heavy metal damage. Milk thistle blocks toxins entirely. The liver and the cleansers and cleanses toxicity out of liver cells. Okay, a good temporary process during any cleanse and detoxification process. Milk thistle raises the level of SOD. I don't know what that stands for. Sorry. Interferon and T lymphocytes. Leaf tea used for skin problems, rashes, and tuberculosis. Root tea used for bowel issues like worms and diarrhea. Oh boy, I hope you don't have worms. you can make a
pork,
lemonade.
Yeah.
Say again?
If you eat pork, you got worms.
That's true, you do. Yep, even if it's domestic pork. You can make a lemonade from thistle juice or blend strain. Okay. From thistle juice or blend. Strain out prickles or pulp. Add lemon and optional honey. As for pure food, the root is the easiest survival food. And trust me, folks, I've dug them up in the wintertime. I slice them thin because they can be pretty fibrous. But I'll dig up thistle roots in the middle of the winter and add them to my rice and soup and whatever I'm doing. So, bull thistle.
Does it taste like chicken?
No, I don't know what to describe it as. Sort of like a ginger root with no flavor.
So kind of like a yucca root.
Yeah, I haven't tried yucca root yet, to be honest yet. I look forward to when we dig some up and you cook some like potato, like you said. Anyway.
Yeah, yucca root kind of tastes like a potato, but not quite.
Okay.
It's got a different flavor, but it's like a potato.
Well, if you've had taro, it's milder than taro, and I don't know how to describe taro, but if you've had taro, that's you'll find that in Asian dishes sometimes. Okay.
Is that made from the taurus?
I believe taro is related to like elephant ear. You know, people grow it as a decorative plant here. They take it in the winter.
Oh, okay. So it's taurus ear.
Well, yeah, it's T-A-R-O, taro. Anyway, all right, let me finish reading this. Bull thistle, for example, has a pretty hefty root. Can be eaten raw or cooked. Young plants are best. Yeah, if you're going to eat it raw, the young plants. I get some pretty old roots. What we have mostly on our land is Canadian pineapple thistle or whatever. I'm probably mixing names, but we got the thistle that looks like a pineapple on top. And as I understand, that's the Canadian thistle. And they take several years to get fully mature. And as the years go on, the root gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I've dug up some that must have been, you know, 3-4 years old. They can be pretty tough, so I slice them thin. Anyway, but if you get the young ones, they're pretty tender. You probably could eat those raw. So young plants are best. Unopened flower buds, raw or cooked. I don't know if I'd eat the flower buds raw. They're pretty prickly.
Yeah, you'd have to pick the prickles off.
You'd have to kind of burn them off.
That might work.
Yeah, so I wouldn't eat them raw. Just, you know, I'm sure they're good for you raw. I might throw them through the blender and drink the raw juice, you know, but yeah. And then they have a blurb on milk thistle itself.
If you got a juicer, thistle is perfect for juicing. And then you can dry out the pulp and use that as an herbal supplement.
Well, okay. Thistle juice is pretty sweet, actually.
Right.
It tastes green. You know, I can't say it tastes like candy, but it's one of your sweeter vegetables. You know, and you know, this is juice coming from the stem. I suppose if one was to take some of the thicker stalks and very carefully peel off the skin,
the core would probably be pretty good to eat. I hadn't tried that yet. I'll have to make a point of doing that this year. So
there you go. Just take a knife and skin them.
I do that with sumac shoots. The fresh shoots coming up in the spring from the sumac plants, staghorn and mostly staghorn sumac. It's the one with the fuzzy red berries, and then there's a smooth sumac. But to be honest, I hadn't really done it with those, but I'm sure it would be the same. You peel the bark off. You want a shoot that snaps off easily. Okay, while it's still soft and tender. The growing parts of any plant is usually the sweetest part, right? And if you peel off the bark off of the young shoots of sumac, it's soft and tender on the inside and sweet. So, and I'm going to try the same thing with thistle stalks this year. See if I can get similar results. I bet you there'll be a lot juicier than the sumac. So.
It'll definitely taste better than the sumac, probably. The sumac's not bad tasting, and you can make lemonade out of it, too. I got a friend. She's had liver problems for quite a while. I don't know what it's called, whatever. I think she actually said the doctors don't really know what it is, but, you know, that's to be expected. She calls it a spaghetti liver because apparently it's all, like, weird and looks like spaghetti.
Right.
Well, anyways, her doctor keeps telling her to quit taking the thistle. That's the only – I suggest her to do dandelion because it's good for the liver too and some other stuff.
Shishandraberry.
There you go, shishandraberry.
Shishandraberry, it's otherwise known as Seven Taste Berry. It's famous for regrowing livers.
There you go. I'll tell her that. Anyhow, or have her listen to this podcast or both. Her doctor kept telling her to stop taking the thistle. Now, I'm sure she's taking other things too. I'm not sure. But primarily, she's taking the thistle root, I believe. And she's been doing it for quite a while. And she's a nurse. And she's been trained in modern medicine. And she won't do a lot of the alternative health that I keep telling her to do, but she's open, she's somewhat open-minded to it, and she's doing some of it. She's doing the thistle root and a couple other things, and it's helping. You know, the doctor's mad at her for doing it, but it's working. And so,
what got her started on the thistle?
In a way, it's a kind of a testimony to her that the doctor's not really looking out for her best interest. She's, you know, taking the matters in her own hands, and she's fixing her problem.
I tell you when they put you on blood thinners, they do not want you eating anything that has a high quantity of vitamin K in it.
Right. So
the first thing they do, and vitamin K regulates, you know, how your blood coagulates, all right? And it interferes with their blood thinners. All right, because, you know, they don't get a consistent reading, and they don't like not getting a consistent reading. It makes their job more difficult, but it makes you healthier. So, you know, I'd tell the doctor tough titties. It's like, you know, hey, if you're going to keep giving me bad advice, I need a different doctor. And I'm going to put in recommendation that they fire you. You know?
That's
not that
advice.
That would have any effect, but, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, anyway, but that, you know, that's somebody that I know in real life that's actually, you know, that it's actually helping. So it does work.
Now, did she start because you suggested it, or was she already started it when you met her?
Oh, yeah, she was already doing it. I just suggested other things that would
supplement
help
it
further. But she's overly cautious when it comes to things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, she's not pumping, you know, she's overly cautious when it comes to the pharmaceuticals as well. So at least, you know, at least she's doing that. So, I mean, you should be cautious either way. But, you know, this is God's medicine. He put it here for us to feed ourselves and heal ourselves. And the modern medical system is not really looking out for our best interest. So you have to go out on your own and figure out what's really in your best interest. And that's
so you should
what
be doing
done
that anyway. You should be doing that
well,
anyway. You should be taking responsibility for your life, for your health, for your finances, for all that. You should be, you know, you should be making your own decisions on family and things like that. And it's, you know, it all this ties in.
Right.
You know, it's
be self-responsible.
Let's put it this way. You and I and everybody else, you are the direct connection to God that you know. You don't need to go through somebody else to have that direct connection to God. But what you do need is you need some feedback to bounce your ideas off of, because quite frankly, we don't hear God so well. All right? It gets worse when we hear it third and fourth hand, you know, some preacher standing up telling us how to live our lives only makes it worse, because, you know, he's hearing God's voice and then he's giving his bad interpretation of what he hears to you. So,
right.
You know, so you do need to talk to other people, but you need to keep in mind that you do have a direct connection with God. With the voice of the universe, if you prefer that term. And you are directly responsible to that being or whatever for what you do with your life and whatever. You know, you're its child. All right? He cares about you. He talks to you directly.
90 seconds.
Oh, and there's the voice of our God telling us we don't have much time left. So you want to close this out, Kano?
So check out freefoodandmedicine.com for Marcus Rothkranz and all of his stuff, and or freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me credit for it. And, yeah, next week we'll have another topic for Free Food and Medicine.
60 seconds.
Go to Manic Monday Podcast for more details. And if you want to hear the rest of this podcast, we'll continue talking about all of this stuff at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
All right. Did he hang up on
okay
us yet?
I hung up.
Ah, you hung up.
Yeah.
I am disappointed in my favorite book. Because
what?
Because it does talk about dandelions. And dandelion-like plants, and it probably has some mention of thistle in there, in that area. But I could not find a direct reference to thistle.
Nice.
So apparently he didn't think it was worthwhile trying to eat it.
That's okay. Nobody knows everything.
This is true. Well, he does an excellent job of documenting all the nutrients and stuff. I would note that Rothgrant said it was a temporary thing to do for cleansing. So it might be like so many other herbs. You should take a break from it. You know, use it 3 weeks and then take a 1 week break. You know,
right. It might be more beneficial that way.
Right. And to be honest, I dig up thistle because I want some variety in my diet in the middle of the winter, you know? So I probably, you know, I wasn't eating thistle exclusively, but you know, it's like plain rice can get kind of boring. And if I can't find enough mushrooms to add to it, you know, I go find something else to add some different texture and such, you know, so thistle root's one of them. Finding onions in the woods was a blessing when I was over on George and Valerie's place, you know.
Oh, yeah, wild onions. And wild onions, they grow year-round pretty much.
Well, the onions I'm talking about were not technically wild. I found out later what they were. They were Egyptian walking onions.
Right.
And
well, what I'm trying to say is the wild ones grow pretty much year-round.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the ones I was eating, I found them because I'd be wandering through the woods looking for something that I could forage on. And mostly looking for mushrooms because, surprise, surprise, oyster mushrooms will grow in December, even though it's the books clearly state that they don't grow in that time period, but they do. In Missouri, at least, they do. In this part of the Ozarks, they do.
Well, that depends on how cold it gets, too. We had some mild winters until this year.
Well, actually, this is the mildest winter so far.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it to me. I had to drive in it.
Well, for this area.
Perhaps.
I'm aware that parts of the U.S. got hit really, really badly. But
I was mostly in the Midwest. And I got hit in it almost every other week.
Well, it only got to 3 degrees above zero. That's the lowest it got this year in this area.
I disagree.
Well, that's in this area.
No, because it was below zero one of the weeks that I was there. So that chart
below
wrong.
Zero centigrade.
No, below zero Fahrenheit. That reporting is wrong.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I've been living in it. I've been keeping track of it.
Yeah. Well,
2 years ago, it got to minus 20. 2 years ago, it got to minus 20, and 3 years ago, it got to minus 20. Last year, it got to, like, minus 2. Didn't do it for very long, but it got to minus 2. So, but last winter, not this last winter, but the winter before, was also very long. And I don't know how to gauge this winter. I guess this winter went from winter to summer within about 2 weeks.
And then back to winter again.
Well, it dropped down to early spring here while you were here this weekend. But it got hot today. You called me. I complained because I made the mistake of answering the phone just before I stepped out of it. And then we talked, and I was roasting inside the camper. I wanted to get out. It got hot. Anyway. I don't know what else to talk about.
Thistles are good for you.
Yeah, they are. They're basically, they're the tastier, larger member of the lettuce family. Yeah, they taste much better than dandelion. But then, but they got all those prickles. So I would juice it. I would drink the juice. If I can figure out how to run a juicer off-grid efficiently, I would do it on a regular basis. So.
Solar.
Yes, and we will be working on that.
Yep.
Well pump first. Which
yep.
We will run off of solar, but that yep. Solar will be for the pumps. So I might tap it to charge my phone, but that'll be about it.
Yep.
So talking about moving water. A variety store had three marine pumps, which ran off of AC, 120 AC, which I thought was odd. And I passed them up because of that. But I'm thinking tomorrow, if I'm passing through there, I'm going to make a point of stopping in and see if he still has them and pick one up.
There you go.
Because it wouldn't move water as quickly as my big pump would, but it's something I plug into an inverter in the truck and use it to transfer water from one tank to the next. Because it's... Well, I could use my pump, but it requires some time to set it up. You know? So, but if I got a puddle or something like that I want to move water out of, I'm thinking putting a sieve on the end of one of these marine transfer pumps, and that'd be good. So.
So there you go.
Anyway, anything else? Gee, no, I don't know.
Well, I was trying to say earlier, after you get done juicing your thistle, you can still use the pulp. He was talking about making teas from different parts of the plant. I don't remember which part.
But from the leaves and from the root.
Right, so you can dry out the pulp, and you can capsulize it, and, you know, powder it, put it in capsules, and take it as an herb, or you can put it in tea bags and possibly make a tea out of it. I haven't tried that, so I don't know.
I would want to experiment with powdering it first before I put it in a capsule, because I'm kind of afraid that once the capsule dissolves, you might have some pokey bits in your gut.
True.
I'd want to make sure that it was thoroughly powdered.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why you use the thistle root.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the thistle root's the easiest part to eat. But I know from experience the juice from the leaves is tasty. if only just a taste, you know, because I'm weed eating. But I mean, you know, what's a weed? A juicer without a closed space.
No.
Flailing the juice out of the plants.
Right.
Oh, my screen decided to shut off on me. I should probably shut off the light, seeing as I'm not reading anything anymore.
It also said that this was good for skin, for your skin.
Yes, it did. You use the leaf tea for your skin, and I think it said something about bronchitis.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'd have to go back and look at the book to see which was for which. But he did specify that the root had different properties than the leaves. So.
Well, yeah, we can go back and listen to the podcast. Or you can go
buy the book
and read it for yourself.
I wonder what Nature's Sunshine, if they have any thistle.
Yeah, I don't have that book with me.
Yeah, let me turn my light on.
I got my prescriptions for natural healing. See what it says. I hadn't looked in here for a minute, because I used to refer to this book for everything. I've kind of gotten away from that. But let's see what it says. Milk, thistle. Oh, okay. Refer to different pages.
'87 to '82. You know, they have a milk thistle combination.
There you go.
And milk thistle time release. Uses the milk thistle seed extract. Which is 80% silymarin. That one I don't know what it is. But this explains what it is. Oh, no, it doesn't. It just says where it comes from and what it does. I guess that kind of tells what it is.
All right. Yeah. This is actually prescriptions for herbal healing. Not prescriptions for natural healing. But, I'm not used to using this one as much. I have to go through and look. It's supposed to be alphabetized. Prescription for natural healing was alphabetized, but this one's a little different.
Basically, all these books seem to agree that the thistle and milk thistle are good detoxers.
Detox.
especially for the liver.
Ah, here we go. Milk thistle is a common weed with a distinctive white
marbling.
White marking on the leaves.
Yes.
The European tradition, these markings were believed to be splashes of the Virgin Mary. Oh, Virgin Mary's milk.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of disgusting.
This spiny perennial grows throughout Europe, but is naturalized to Australia and California. All over the U.S. for that matter.
Yep.
Reaching a height of 5 feet, the plant puts out distinctive purple flower heads, sometimes white, which may be eaten fresh as a vegetable, similar to artichokes. The seeds are collected and dried for use in herbal medicines. In Europe, during the Middle Ages and in later French folk medicine, as well as traditional Chinese medicines, the liver was regarded as the seat of the emotions. Depression and emotional distraught were thought to arise from malfunctions in the liver. Milk thistle, available in early spring, served as a spring tonic to relieve winter depression and release the pent-up emotions and energies housed in the liver.
Well, here's my problem.
Yeah.
Need to eat more milk thistle.
Milk thistle is extraordinarily useful in treating or in the treatment of liver disease such as alcoholic hepatitis, psoriasis, liver poisoning, and viral hepatitis. Milk thistle is one of the few herbs that have no real pharmacological equivalent.
Wow.
It reduces inflammation and it is an antioxidant. Traditionally used for functional disorders of the liver and gallbladder, such as jaundice. It was also used to treat malaria. Today, it is used for
or
this dyspepsia. I don't know what that word is. D-Y-S-P-E-P.
I believe you pronounced it correctly. I can't remember what that is, though.
Toxic liver and hepatic cirrhosis. Hepatic cirrhosis. The German Commission. The German Commission E has approved milk thistle for dyspepsia, liver, and gallbladder complaints. According to the German Commission E, whatever that is, milk thistle works in two ways. It alters the structure of the outer cells or outer cell membrane of the liver cells to prevent toxins such as from blood poisoning and gets inside the liver cells. And second, it stimulates the action of nuclear polymerases. Polymerous. It's like almost like polyamorous, but it's polymerous. Merous. Anyways, which stimulates the regeneration of new healthy liver cells. Benefits of milk thistle for specific health conditions include the following: alcoholism, psoriasis, and hepatitis. And then it goes into detail. Cancer, and then it goes into detail. Diabetes, and then it goes into detail. Paralysis, and that's about it.
Okey-dokey.
Yeah, it's talking about case studies and stuff like that. So there we go. That's prescriptions for herbal healing. And that was written by like five doctors. And they have a whole bunch of other doctors that they resourced information from. They got like a ton of credits in the back.
Good beans.
The two leading doctors for this book is Dr. Bach and Dr. Bell. Stacy Bell and Phyllis Bach. Bach. Yeah. Phyllis Bach and Stacy Bell. Those are the two primary doctors who wrote this book. But from what I understand, there was five. Bada boom, bada bing. So there you go. With 5 minutes remaining, check out DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com for previous and later podcasts. Check out ManicMondayPodcast.com. That's our index page. Tells you all our different podcasts, which this one's going to be probably our primary podcast from now on. We need to come up with a new name besides Demented Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, we could just call it the DD&D podcast.
This is true. But, yeah. Well, I do also own DDD-podcast.com. But, yeah. I don't know. We'll work on a new name for our free food and medicine podcast.
We'll take listener suggestions.
Huh?
We'll take listener suggestions.
I'm sorry, what?
We will take listeners' suggestions.
Yes, we will. We'll throw them out the window, the second story window.
Yeah, something like that.
Just kidding. Okay, so that concludes the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Check out our Blog Talk Radio at blogtalkradio.com/Manic Monday. I also have / free food and medicine, but I reserve that for Marcus Rothkranz if he wants to use it. If he don't, then I will convert it, and we'll be using it. So there we go. That's all, folks.
Bye. Bye.